Good morning, welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Monday the 27th of September. Hope you're well. Just a little bit of admin. I do care, and I understand why I get it. Questions about is the podcast continuing, blah, blah, blah. I think I only did one last week, didn't I? I think I did Saturday, Friday, something like that. Yes, they are going to continue. Of course they are. It has literally just been, as I've said many times, but obviously if people haven't listened to everyone, they don't hear. It has literally just been life issues. I did take, obviously we used to do them all every single day through lockdown and things. That became a little bit too much and I felt a bit tied to it. I moved away to that and said I'd sort of do four or five a week. And set myself a sort of structure of really Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday to cover the start of the week and then football and that at the weekend. And yes, I haven't stuck to that. People are quite right. Very obvious. Well done for pointing it out. I am well aware. It is certainly not a lack of motivation on the podcast. It's purely been a time thing and family thing. Obviously had Ari and Jody here moved in. And then last week, it's just, you know, getting things ready. We've had to change how we operate on FTS with data and things like that. So it literally has all been that. I'm certain this week I'm really busy. We've been doing some Zooms and training. But I think after sort of the next international break, then I will get into full flow. So do not panic. I do understand it as being a bit disjointed. And that's a fair observation. What a shit weekend I've had, honestly. Absolutely. Well, no, I did okay yesterday, but then the football and the NFL managed to ruin that. Got absolutely beaten up on Saturday. One of those days where everything that could possibly go against you went against you. Backed over 1.5 at Swansea, got the early goal, and then it went 2-0 on my phone and chalked off about 3 minutes later. Inter 2-2, and then in to get a penalty, miss a penalty, then Atalanta scored. The penalty was 86 minutes. Atalanta scored like 80, 90 minutes. That then got chalked off. I had a goal in Japan chalked off. It just was an absolute... Just all kept coming Saturday. Bosh, bosh, bosh. Punch, punch, punch. And then I did some Zoom in the evening. Nobody knew a thing until I told them. But yeah, so it was a bloodbath then. And then yesterday, I did okay punting, actually. I did all right yesterday. And but the football, the Ryder Cup, absolute shambles. I mean, that looks... Harrington was an absolute... I don't care what anybody says. He was an absolute shambles of a captain, I'm sorry. Absolute. If you know anything about golf, absolute monumental shambles. But you look at that and think it's going to be tough old times in that competition. Now it's going to go back to like it was pre-85, where it becomes a bit uninteresting because it's all going to be a bit one-sided for 10 or 15 years, I think, looking at the lineups and players and the age of players. I really cannot see us being competitive in that for a while. I know people try and make out that we will be, and it's on Europe and home fans. They are. Golf is about good players, and they are miles better than us, and I got it all wrong. I thought we would compete better, but the captain was awful, and our good players aren't anywhere near their standard. You know, even McIlroy is a level behind the likes of Johnson, Thomas, Koepka, Cantlay. He's a level behind at the moment. I'm not saying he won't get back there, but his golf hasn't been good enough, and we just haven't got enough of them. So I see plenty of time in the doldrums, and bookmark this pod, golf fans, and let me know after Rome and wherever else, right, leading up to Ireland in 2027. I'm going to go to Ireland in 2027. Anyone wants to come, let me know. I went to the K Club, best sporting event I've ever been to, best sporting experience I've ever had in my life was going to the Ryder Cup at the K Club. Absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, so I couldn't really watch the golf because it was all, I mean, it was done, wasn't it? The result was known. You're just watching it play out like watching a flipping lame horse. And then I told you on Friday, irrespective. I mean, my mate Suggsy, I know he says I dig him out, but he managed football teams. I want to know how. I think he should. I told him yesterday, just stop talking about football. Absolutely clueless. This Spurs side... It's just laughable, isn't it? Don't even know what to say. It's pointless saying anything. Certainly, Nuno Gross won't be sorting it out. That's for sure. Certain. Three goals in 34 minutes against Arsenal. Three goals in about 30 minutes against Chelsea. Three goals in about 20 minutes against Palace. They're just absolutely terrible. They are, other than Norwich, they're probably the worst team in the league right now. And it was absolutely embarrassing. I mean, it's just fortunate that Arsenal sort of sat back a bit in the second half. If Arsenal had the Man City mentality, they'd have probably got 7 or 8 yesterday. But they just sort of rested on their laurels, and we never ever looked like really, you know, I know we got that late goal consolation, but never ever looked like damaging them. Absolutely different gravy. I said on Friday when Suggsy said much rather be involved with Tottenham right now. Arsenal have got some good young players coming up. Saka, Emil Rowe. Yeah, they've got some bad players, but absolute different class to Tottenham Hotspur. That club at the minute. Dreadful. We're fucking terrible. Awful. So I couldn't watch the Ryder Cup. That had to go off when we went 3-0 down. Hunting for Love Island. I was hunting around to watch Love Island. What else is there to do? And then the NFL, which the Bets are doing superbly. Applause, please. Thank you very much. The NFL. Good game. Green Bay 49ers. I thought, that'll be good. 1:20 this morning. And we lose that in a kick with about 2 seconds to go. Score a touchdown ago. 28-27 up with about 35 seconds on the clock. 37 seconds on the clock. And then we get beat. They manage to get down the pitch and kick from about 50 yards, literally as the clock ticked to zero, to win 30-28. We did back over 50 points. NFL bets 8.8 points out of 13 bets. But absolute fucking traumatic sporting weekend. Awful. Up there with the worst. Right, what else have we got? I talked 2 weeks ago because I didn't do one last week. I can't even remember why. Sam was going to Malta. Something to do with that. We've started talking about modelling and different things. And what I'll say with it, there's sort of several elements mentally to all this. Is one, people are scared of it. Two, if people Google it or buy books on it, they really don't understand it. And you hear things like you've got to use Python, you've got to use all these sort of coding languages. And of course, you know, as you developed, you know, if that's the road you went down, that may be where you end up. But you certainly don't need to start there. In general, I guess, just a bit too much like hard work for people. I find the modelling approach, mine isn't massively, massively involved. Obviously, I've had help through the years, but it's not massively, massively involved. I don't get involved in things like Python and stuff like that. I don't rate players, which is maybe something I'm going to look at going forward, but that'll be an evolution again. But my main process to people was to get away from these sort of lazy stats and actually look at, if you're betting, the question you want to answer, and what is it that you're going to use to answer that question, and from that you build a process. So that's really what I've been trying to get to. And I do understand that some people say words like Poisson, Bayesian. People go, what the hell is he talking about, as if it's a different language. I just think it's something, if you want to take your betting forward, that people should look at and look into. And irrespective of all that, you still need a good, you know, for me, most important, the mindset, discipline, approach, keeping records and all that. But the bottom line is, you know, I wanted to start moving people onto a bit more how the way I work and discuss that. And people may pick up little snippets or you know, get involved. And I'll reiterate that, you know, on FTS Ultimate, for example, and it's not a sales pitch, we're into the season, but you've got models. We're doing this stuff for you, and we're using these techniques, to put that in your hands to save you the work, because I do understand for people that there's not time to do it and this, that and the other. But ultimately, all a model is know, even a bookmaker's model is a set of it's just assumptions. You're forming an opinion. There's no precise number that you can put on anything in sport. So over a period of time, you get to see whether your model has any merit or has any flaws from it, and that's basically all it is. We're just trying to end up with a number, really, a maths number that we can get out of it and use at the end. So it's really just sitting down saying, this is the problem I'm trying to solve. So from that, you need some form of inputs. So be it, you know, if you were looking at over-unders, it's probably going to be goals-based. If you were looking at 1x2, it may be player rating-based, it may be team rating-based that you're using. And then from those, you can put them into a model, and Excel has models built into it. You can put those numbers in, and in effect, it will distribute the outcomes and give you an idea. And looking at little courses on Excel, you know, Googling it, there's loads of free stuff that you can do just to find out how to sort of do these basic things. So if we took something like the, let's look at the ELO on Ultimate and how that, let's just talk you through the sort of basics of how that works. Because all we're trying to do, all I try and do with a model, and again, this is how I work, all I'm trying to do is recreate that model. Obviously, out of it, I get numbers, and then look at what is the historical performance of those numbers going back. I may weight it, I may change them slightly for more recent form, but that's all I'm trying to do. So, for example, if I've got two ELO rating teams, and one is 975 and the other one is 850, I've got a positive of 125 favouring one team. So I might expand that out to something like, you know, positive, I don't know, 100 to 125 or 125 to 150, and look historically at the prices I can bet at, how has that got on. So if I've got positive teams, one, you know, I wouldn't stick to one number, 125. I'd probably go the lower end, 100 to 125, and go, right, so I've got positive 100, 125, I've got a team that are priced at 2.2. How historically have I got on with my ratings, because they're the same every week, going back, say, 2-3 years, when I've got that scenario? What can I make money if I back all those outcomes? And what you try and get away from is this constant sort of tweaking and things. It takes a while to build the data up, decide what you want, build the skill up. So on the ELO ratings, for example, basically every team starts on 1,000. Every single team starts on 1,000. And when a game is played, each team puts a percentage of their 1,000. So the first game, let's say it's Tottenham versus Arsenal, they're both on 1,000. They both put a percentage in the pot. So let's say, just for round numbers, it was 10%. So they both basically put 100 points in each. Yeah, so now 200 points are in the pot. Their ratings are now at 900. We've taken 100, we've put it in the pot. And then to play, so we've got 200 then in the middle that in effect they're playing for. Depending on how that game pans out, that then gets distributed back to them depending on the result. So if yesterday's game was taken into account there, Tottenham-Arsenal, you saw both on 1,000, 200 points go in the pot. You saw, firstly, Arsenal won by 3 goals. Was it a recognised 3 goals, as in did they dominate the ball, did they have lead possession, or was it like 3, you know, fair goals and 3 went in off the arse? Obviously Arsenal absolutely dominated possession, and you can use actual, you know, Premier League stats and that to get this information. So that goes into it. Did Tottenham offer anything up? What were the level of opposition? So at the minute they're both exactly the same because they're on 1,000, so there's no adjustments there. So in effect, that would just come out as a very dominant Arsenal win. So those points would get divvied up. We've got a formula and everything that does all this, but in effect, for the sake of the podcast to describe it, let's say, right, out of that game, Arsenal were in effect 3 times better than Tottenham, 1-3-0, and Arsenal are going to get, of that 200, 150 points. And Tottenham are only going to get 50. So now you've got a new rating for the teams. Tottenham's get 50. They were down to 900 because they put 100 in the pot. They're only getting 50 back. So Tottenham are 950. And Arsenal now are 1,050. They've got 900, but they've got 150 of that 200 back. So now you've got two teams where now Arsenal are 100 points superior to Tottenham. Arsenal are 1,050. Tottenham are 950. Obviously, it wouldn't happen, but let's assume they play the same week, the following week now. Right, so now they're going to put 10% in. Tottenham have only got 95 to put in. Arsenal have got 105 to put in. So you'd end up with the same 200. If the same result panned out again, Tottenham would now, you know, obviously going down. They've gone down to 855. They're only now going to be on 905. And Arsenal's rating would go up. So instantly, over a few games, you start to... The strong teams obviously have more points and they're putting more points at risk than when they play low teams, and obviously it gets weighted for home advantage and things. So it's a fairly straightforward and easy model to operate. Again, it can be done in Excel. I used to do them manually. But you then, over a period of time, you end up with these positive and minus numbers that you can look at and go, you know, I've got, when I've got home teams that are priced 1.5 to 1.8 and their ELO rating is over 200 positive compared to the away team, how have I got on? And it's fairly consistent because it's all league by league figures in that. And what the hard bit of it is determining how you would adjust your points, what you give more merit to. So obviously, what do you allow for home advantage? What do you allow? And you may say, right, the home team's going to put 12% in and the away team's only going to put 8%. So the home team's putting more at risk. And then how you allocate that back at the end of the game. And you might do it based on XG. You might do it based on shots on target. You might do it on a multitude of things. And you could do exactly the same with player ratings. You could start off giving each squad player a rating, let's say 100. And you've got, what, in the Premier League, 25. So, in effect, that team would have 2,500. That team would have 2,500. Obviously, when they play, every player's worth 100 to start. When they play then, depending on their performance, again, you could use Premier League stats. You could adjust those player ratings and end up with a different rating for each team. And what I'd use then would be average lineup. So, let's say I ended up with, I don't know, if you took 2,500, each player's, well, let's lower it. Let's say we had, 11 players and added all their ratings up and they averaged out at 80. So Arsenal's averaged out 80 and Tottenham, we had 25 players. And then we take the 11 that are lined up and their average players are 67 based on how you've adjusted them. So Arsenal's lineup going into that game is plus 13 better than Tottenham's. And again, you could do it, and I think it's something that you shouldn't be scared of and something that you could play around with, as opposed to looking at this Tottenham have won six games at home or whatever it may be, you know. And as I said in the last one of these I did, you know, when I do that, I don't look at Tottenham's last six games as is, because it's absolutely pointless, because Tottenham beating Watford and then getting stuffed by Chelsea are two completely different events against completely different levels of opposition. So it's ridiculous to look and go, oh well, yeah, well, Tottenham won at home against what, it's a completely different scenario. Tottenham beat Man City, you know, and I mean, Tottenham aren't a good example at the minute, and I'm not joking, they are on such a decline and such a rapid decline that it's difficult to get a handle on them. But if you look at solid-ish teams, you know, look at teams like Liverpool, City, Chelsea, you get a fair handle on it. Arsenal at home, look at who they play. You know, Arsenal had a period where, particularly against small teams, they were just phenomenal at home. I mean, Liverpool obviously had that period where they just beat everybody, but Arsenal had a period over a couple of years where, even though they weren't, you know, a fantastic team, they were phenomenal at home against fodder. They beat them well all the time. So it's trying to get you to look at this in new ways and take a slightly different approach to it as you move forward. So, you know, and I'm not talking all rush off and do this now. It's something to think about and sort of build and perhaps aim for next summer to actually sit down and go, I'm going to have a little go at doing some of this myself. So the first thing, obviously, you need to, again, we're asking questions, what data we're going to use, but you would want to try and speed the process up with some Excel skills. I hope to make some Excel little videos. I'm not going to get a chance before Christmas, but perhaps as we move towards the end of the season, just on how I use it for football, so that people can perhaps can take that forward themselves. I think it would be a big help for people. I won't say that's guaranteed, because everything is down to time and what happens in life. But that's the sort of areas that I like to look at, you know, particularly 1x2, it is things like that. And for the goal models, it is things like Poisson, which I talked about in the last one. And moving people forward. In doing that, one of the biggest things that I find with people, particularly in punting, and I get it, the reactions to bad results, but I think people do it, whether it's out of boredom or whether they see gambling more as a form of entertainment than working, you know, seeing it as a job, is the constant need. Whether it's boredom, whether it's just the fact that you've got access to do it, I don't know what it is, but this constant need to tweak and piss about with stuff. And I'm going to get a little bit into it now. There was a poem by a Greek, ancient Greek poet. He was called, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I've not got it in front of me. He was called something like Archilochus or something like that. Archilochus, it was something like that. And the poem was about a fox and a hedgehog. And basically, it said a fox. Basically, the underlying current was, a fox knows many things, but a hedgehog knows one big thing. That was basically it. Fox knows many things, but a hedgehog knows one big thing. Where he got that from, I've no idea. But that sort of got looked at through life, and several sort of authors and academics sort of took that narrative and looked at it, and one called Berlin looked at it and sort of divided writers and thinkers into that category. So in effect, he put people like Plato in one and said that he views life through a single lens, and he took people like Aristotle and said that who said the world couldn't be boiled down to one single thing. So Plato was a hedgehog in effect, and Aristotle was a fox. He then took Tolstoy, and Tolstoy's like me. I'm comparing myself to Leo Tolstoy now, and there's people going, oh, I knew he was a communist. No, Tolstoy was an author, but Tolstoy in this categorisation, he was put in the two groups, because that he couldn't separate Tolstoy and basically said that Tolstoy had both qualities in him. I think most people have got both qualities in them. Generally, I think there's people who've got one sort of big thing, hedgehog thing, that they have the ability to focus on, but they get distracted by other things, and a bit of the fox creeps in. For punting, you need to try and be a hedgehog as much as possible. And you're all reading, listening to this going absolutely nuts, but it's what I say. You know, the common name phrase of this is become master of one trade rather than jack of all trades, and that in effect is just an evolution of the hedgehog and the fox. That's all it's become. You've got to try and master one thing. So if you do go down this road of modeling, it can be a right rabbit hole, and it can open things up, particularly if you start researching it on the internet. And I think, as I say, you've got to go back to, how am I going to start it? Start with one question first, one market, one question, be it 1x2, be it a goal market. You know, you look at me, I talk now about both teams to score. Celtic Dundee, was it yesterday? Get in. I've only really started getting to that now after years, because I couldn't beat it, and I thought, well, I'm not going to keep wasting time on it and trying to do things when I've got stuff here that I can master and be good at. So I moved away into that and put it to one side. I've had a little bit of time in the last summer to have a look at it and go, yeah, I think I've got something there that will work. It's worked certainly going backwards. It is starting to work forwards. Whether it continues remains to be seen, but I've got a process in. But for you starting out, rather than trying to beat all of it and do all of it, and I've got to model this, and I'm going to model goals, and I'm going to model this, I think you need to think of, if you're going to go down this road, one question, one approach to it, and absolutely master it. Remember, no model is perfect. Even if it's flawed slightly, you can then work with those flaws to fix it. You can then have a look and tweak it and refine it, and it becomes something then that is yours, that hopefully then stands the test of time. It can be adjusted as market conditions change. But moving it forward, I think if you go around this approach and start to look at it, that's my one bit of advice, is don't get, you know, we'll always help you if people drop questions in, but don't get bogged down in trying to beat it all and do everything. Try and become a hedgehog, focus on one thing. Which really is what we've sort of tried to do in the summer school. I've sort of said, right, we're going to do this. We're going to do 100 days, and we're going to do 100 days on one thing. I'm not interested in anything. I know people alongside that are doing other things, and they'll hopefully have records of where they're at the end of the 100 days, but let's just get one thing. You know, most punters that I deal with do not have that ability, for whatever reason, reaction to bad results, boredom, as I say, to just get one thing and go with it. And, oh, well, I'll have a go at that. And, oh, matey's got that over there. Oh, and Nick's talking about that. Oh, and what about that? And, oh, these look good. You know, so I think it's, if you're going to go down the road yourself, you just drive yourself mad. You need to go, right, I'm going to do one thing, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to tweak it, use it, test it, and then move it forward. And I'm convinced that people will be better off. Right, that's it from me. For today, as I say, I will be back next Monday, I'll be back tomorrow, I'll be back Friday, I'll be back Saturday. We've got an international break, so I actually may take, saying that, I might take the international break off from the podcast. I think they're coming back from Malta next Monday anyway, so I'm going to have to pick them up if that's the case. Got to work out what all the testing flipping nonsense is that we got to do. But I'll definitely be back this week, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. And then we've got international break again, boring. And then obviously we'll be off and running. And Spurs will be getting beat by Villa this week. But yes, that's it from me. Have a lovely Monday. Thank you for listening. And I will be back with you all tomorrow morning. Have a quick glance at the midweek football after I've done the midweek process.